Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast, PQP edition, post quali. Podcast, but it's been
on a Friday.
On a Friday. I know, it feels very weird to be saying that it's a Friday quality podcast, but here we are, sprint race weekend. And what a dramatic qualifying we had, Tommy. It was actually a pretty great finish considering we have 2 Red Bulls, 2 Ferraris, and a Mercedes in the top 5.
Yeah, it had a bit of everything. It had obviously the drama, and then it felt like the drama, we might not get an exciting end, but did we get an exciting end. It changed at the end as well. It was great.
It did. It was a prolonged quali after a few red flags, which we saw in Q3. We didn't have any red flags for Q1 and 2, did we? There wasn't any delays there, was there, from what I can remember?
No.
I'm sure we'll get reminded.
It was like about 5 years
chat.
Ago now.
If you haven't tuned into our Twitch yet, we are live on Twitch right now doing this podcast. So we'll get some questions over from the chat a little bit later. But of course, it's Max Verstappen on pole ahead of Charles Leclerc, Carlos Sainz, Sergio Perez and George Russell, the top 5. But the big talking point has to be Q3, both Mercedes crashing out. That is rather unheard of. Lewis Hamilton, George Russell, 2 completely different incidents at 2 completely different corners. But probably one common factor being probably the wind having picked up and unsettling that Mercedes. Perhaps that Mercedes a little bit more sensitive to wind than other cars. Of course, they have a completely different philosophy to every other car on the grid. But yeah, both of them crashing out.
Big drama. Hamilton hasn't crashed out of a qualifying session since Brazil 2017. So it's been a long old time.
Just after the first sector, we go up the hill and to the right, wasn't it? It was into that wall, I remember.
Yeah, it already wrapped up the title, obviously, at that point as well. But yeah, big surprise to see, firstly, Hamilton, who rarely crashes, and then for a teammate to go out there, do exactly the same thing. And the fact that this was the session where we were halfway through, end of Q2, going, Mercedes could get pole here. And even Mercedes themselves tweeted, you know, this is going to be fun. And that aged very badly.
I'm not sure what, I think that was probably the worst aged tweet. I also want to apologize to all Mercedes fans out there for my own tweet saying Mercedes are back, ? Which I've tweeted probably 3 or 4 times this year, just as a kind of half joke that Mercedes, as soon as they show any kind of pace in like FP2 in, I think, Miami and stuff like that, it's like, Mercedes are back. And then they both crashed. So I must apologize if you are blaming me.
It's rare that you get 2 of the same kind of team, but I wonder what it was. Is it the Mercedes is particularly difficult? We saw in Spain when Verstappen and Sainz both went off, obviously different cars, when there was the gust of wind and it was meant to be quite windy, but for 2 teammates to go off, it was a big shock.
Certainly was, yeah. And as you say, it was such an opportunity for Mercedes to at least get on the second row of the grid, in my opinion. Although maybe would they have got within a tenth of Verstappen? Because, of course, that's all it was between Verstappen, Leclerc and Sainz, was like 8 hundredths of a second. Mm. So I'd imagine maybe Hamilton slots in P4 in that situation.
Reflecting now we've seen how the session's gone. You're right. I'm a bit like, they're probably 4th and 5th. There was a big gap to Sergio, wasn't there?
There was indeed.
But my God, that was close at the end with those 3. 0.08 between 3 cars. I don't think Merck maybe would have had that great of a session. I mean, George Russell's in P5 anyway, so.
I know, yeah. He popped his lap in and then binned it. So he's not too bad, but as we say, yeah, with big crashes, bigger for Lewis, it obviously poses the question, will they have some sort of penalty? Will they have to change the gearbox and whatnot? We'll obviously have to wait to see that after they've assessed the car. But yeah, I think that was obviously the main talking point. Another one that we need to talk about is Sergio Perez, who has qualified P4 in Q3. But the big thing being that he quite blatantly went out of track limits during Q2. The FIA have clearly not seen it. And I would imagine a team has come knocking going, did you see this? And they've gone, oh, Jesus. No, we haven't. And then Q2's already done. Q3 is, I'm pretty sure, just about to be green lighted. And they've just carried on with it. So Perez gets through to Q3 despite putting an invalid lap in. So then the question is asked, Tommy, what is a fair penalty? For me, yeah, it's just putting him back to where he would have been had that lap time been deleted in Q2.
Yeah, it's really bizarre that it happened as the session was starting. They're like, right, we're investigating Sergio Perez now. And oh my word. Like, yeah, it's not the easiest way to work it out, because obviously in this knockout format, Perez was going out. And the fact that he managed to make it through, you can say, oh, he's cut, you delete his time. Yeah, where it would have put him anyway, maybe you shuffle it down and Gasly goes up, but then Gasly's going to be, I mean, he'd take it, but he's going to be miffed that he didn't at least get a shot in Q3. But yeah, it's not great from the stewarding, but how have they missed that? You know, we've seen other drivers with a millimeter of their wheel going off, and that was as blatant as anything. And they've got all these different angles. I just can't believe they don't have sensors or something by now to manage these things, but clearly
it's
not.
It's probably because it's a track-dependent thing as opposed to a Formula One thing.
So it's money, isn't it?
So it's the circuits having to pay, I would imagine so. Because, of course, you know, they host many other races. I'm sure a lot of these tracks is not just Formula One and track days, etc. It's not their only form of income, although it's obviously a big one. But, yeah, I think the Formula One obviously put the onus on the tracks to sort that out, but it's just not something that they sorted out. And I'm sure it is quite expensive. But it's weird. It's like they were almost completely tunnel visioning to turns 9 and 10 and not really checking so much about.
Yeah, I wonder if it's to do with that as well.
It was weird, but then wasn't it one driver, I think it was Lando maybe, went into the gravel and lost his time? And
yeah,
that was a turn six.
That was just dipping a wheel at turn seven. Was it
turn six, something
turn
like that.
Turn eight is the one where Sergio went off, but yeah, he completely cut the corner. I mean, the people that jump on, I mean, they do it with everything. Like, oh, they're pro Mercedes, they're pro Red Bull, they're pro Ferrari. It changes different, but they'll have a field day with this, because, you know, if Sergio gets a three place grid penalty or something, he'll be like, well, I'll take it because I got through into the session. I would have been 12th, 11th or 12th or whatever. And now even with the penalty, he'll start 7th or whatever. So yeah, it's not great. It's the kind of thing that surely they can delay Q3 for 3 seconds to make a decision.
You would think so, wouldn't you? But they didn't. And that's what's happened, really. Not only, I mean, it probably works a little bit in Red Bull's favour that their own team was the one that got it, was 11th and didn't make it through to Q3, being AlphaTauri, their second team. So I'm sure there isn't as much complaining going on from Gasly's side of the garage.
Or at least Helmut Marko will be ringing him saying, do not put in a protest, please.
You're fine. You're fine with that. You're no problem.
Tell
no
the
problem
press
whatsoever.
You are really happy that Sergio got through.
In fact, you told him to cut the corner. That's what they'll be saying. Actually, before we move on to the next point, because I think, what did you say, Tommy, was the fair penalty for that? What would you say is the fair penalty?
What would I think would be a fair penalty? Yeah. I would pop him into 12th or whatever he was behind, whichever driver he was behind in Q2 before he set that lap is where I'd put it. But that's a very odd one because they can't. they can't just go, oh, we'll give you a seven. Like, there's never been like a 7-place grid penalty. So yeah. If that's how much it took, it's not right. So it's a very odd one.
Yeah, someone's argument in the Twitch chat is, but it's not Perez's fault, says Ray Dafe. And, you know, the FIA have missed it, but then they've investigated it. And I don't know. It's going to be an odd one. And we'll have to wait and see. I'm sure by the time this podcast goes out to all of you listening on the audio platforms, it'll probably already have been decided. But so keep an eye on WTF1.com.
We also need to mention George Russell potentially in a bit of trouble.
I was about to. Don't worry. Relax. Calm yourself. Take a deep breath. No, joking. Yeah, I was about to say before we move on to the next thing, it was, George Russell decided to have a little wander across the racetrack to go back to the pits as opposed to going over the tyre barrier and going the long way around. He didn't fancy doing that and just walked straight across the track during a red flag, which I don't see them penalising very hard, but it's still quite sketchy that he did it.
It's reprimand territory, I think, rather than... Yeah, I can see him getting a reprimand. And a telling off, maybe a fine as well. Like that.
Anyway.
Not a fine.
Not like Bottas got fined 1,000 euros for going 24 kilometres an hour faster in practice, wasn't it? Through the pit lane.
Yeah, he's probably bought cups of coffee that cost that much.
That's very true. Definitely true. Let's talk about some positive stories then, and one of them being Haas, P7 and P8. The Steiner ship has literally submerged from being the Titanic for a while, and here they are, back at it once again, popping in some great performances, not only with K-Mag, but with Mick Schumacher as well, both in Q3. Mick looking much, much better, it has to be said. The fact that he's matching K-Mag is good. That's, you know, that's definitely, considering where he was at the beginning when K-Mag came in, I'm sure Haas will definitely take that. And I would say if he continues this run of form, the critics and the, is he going to get replaced? People will quickly be silenced.
You're talking to me. A lot better from him. I was worried that he just wouldn't be able to turn the season around because it was so bad at the start. But yeah, Haas are proving they need to maximize this result. They didn't in Canada. Obviously, they did brilliantly in Silverstone when, weirdly, they started at the back of the grid. But they need to maximize the points here when they're, you know, got a good quality position. So yeah, Mick Schumacher, Kevin Magnussen's really good at this track as well. He's done really well in the past. He's only just over a tenth off Ocon in P6. Shout out to Ocon, actually. That's a very good lap to be in P6.
Maybe P5.
Yeah, we'll find out. But yeah, I mean, Haas could find themselves, if Sergio gets a penalty, in P6 and 7, which would be pretty mega.
Sixth Crown 9 says, but if Perez's lap was deleted timely, it would have given him another chance to do another lap. So penalizing him now for FIA's mistake is not harsh?
I can't. Yeah, you need to go back in the session and
I felt like it was last minute. I felt like he put it in last minute.
I thought he put it in last minute, but maybe he would have just gone again on
that would be the argument,
older tires. And yeah, so I'm sure there's. It's just a bit of a mess, basically. It's a mess.
Really? The FIA?
Yeah.
PR Green 84 in the Twitch chat. Do the FIA need to sort their house out? Seems every week we discuss inconsistencies and how penalties are applied. No improvement on last year. No accusation of one driver being favoured. Just weird calls that have no consistency.
It's a difficult sport to manage, to be fair. There's a lot going on. However,
and every incident is different, no matter how similar they may look. Every incident has its own nuances and small things that make it different.
Yeah, this is just one of those things where you're like, they should have done this. It feels like it should have been spotted, but it wasn't. And the fact that it's, like you say, halfway through this kind of knockout format means it's a lot more of a difficult thing to sort out.
Indeed it is. Of course, great performance from Haas, great performance from Ocon, as we mentioned. Alex Albon, has to be said, give a shout out to him. P12 looked like maybe he could have made it through to Q3, but 12th on the grid is very solid from him. And then we go back to the bad stories. And let's talk about McLaren being quite dreadful. Yeah. Lando was clearly having quite a few car problems, said he was scared of the brakes or it didn't have any feel when it came to braking, which is not the best, is it? If you're a Formula One driver trying to slow down a 200 mile an hour piece of machinery. And then Danny Ric.
Doing Danny Ric things this year.
Danny.
Ironically, though, they're 15, they're together on the grid. So Danny Ric is actually only one place behind Lando.
But is that representative of where they really are?
No, because he was 0.3 quicker in Q1. So, yeah, tough one for, yeah, because Lando was 0.3 quicker, so quite a few places ahead. And then obviously in Q2, his lap time was a 1:25.8. He just didn't get a lap in because it was, the car looked really, really bad. Really bad. Okay. McLaren.
I've just been sent a picture
of Max Verstappen going slightly wide.
Extending. Is that the one? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have. It's one of those things where, like.
Front tyres on the white line, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where I hate screenshots of things.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that can go on. We'll see. We shall see.
I don't think so. I don't think we'll be in trouble.
I would be
that,
that,
the front right looks like it's just about touching the white line, which I think is where it needs to be. So, McLaren, absolutely shocking, which is such a shame. Such a shame for McLaren fans. How come McLaren has dropped so badly like this, says Ray Dafe? Only McLaren know.
Yeah.
It's not to say that Lando is not a talented driver. He's already performed very well this season, but it just does not seem to click at every single Grand Prix. It's not a consistent car. And when you look back to testing, they had brake problems then as well. And they didn't even think they could even do a full race distance because of brake problems.
Here's a take.
Oh, is it Hot Takes Wednesday already?
Do McLaren need to focus more on their Formula One team than their brand? This is not just, obviously, they've got an IndyCar team, they've got Formula E team now, they've got an Extreme E team now. There's a lot going on at McLaren. They've got their, obviously, car division now. Are they doing too much too soon when they need to focus on getting to the front of Formula One? Or are they just happy to be that kind of fourth best team and have their fingers in lots of pies in different series and go, yeah, cool, we're doing well in lots of different series. But I don't know. For me, McLaren, massively disappointing because there's so much hype of them. And so, if you think how ridiculed Sainz got for leaving and like, why would you leave McLaren? They're on the up and Ferrari are washed. And actually Sainz has now found himself in arguably the joint best car or second best car or first best car, however you see it. And McLaren go from being the fourth best car to the fifth best car to the seventh best car to the eighth best car to the fifth best car all season. So yeah.
Well, the thing is, McLaren, you know, you're saying, oh, they'll be happy to be the fourth best car. They're not the fourth best car, really. When you actually look at it, Alpine are coming on strong. And you make a good point. Only they can really tell us if they're focusing on too many things. But I highly doubt, as a prestige, you know, brand as McLaren, that also have tied in being this fun brand. I do agree that maybe they are dipping their toes in too many lakes, dipping their fingers into too many pies.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's clearly something fundamentally not going right. I mean, to say that they have been on the up is, you know, they have had a decent few seasons, but that's because they were in the absolute trenches a few years ago and they were steadily coming back to sort of a top midfield car. And now they've got there and they've now gone back down again. So,
yeah,
it's
very easy to it's easy to, it's not easy. It's obviously taken a lot of work, but the pinnacle of Formula One is really difficult to get to. And it's such a huge jump. You know, McLaren leaping up ahead of the likes of Haas and, you know, Racing Point when they were there. They should be doing that because they've got all the facilities and all the expertise to do it. But to make that extra step to get like a world championship winning car or to be the top car, I just don't see it happening. But we've said it many times.
Sorry, McLaren fans. We will probably leave that there. Have you seen any questions, Tommy, in the Twitch chat before we...
I guess the weird thing is that we've got a sprint tomorrow. So it'd be interesting to see how the guys at the front play it, because they're very close. Verstappen, Leclerc, and Sainz
as well.
Yeah, Verstappen is ahead in the championship. Does he think about the championship? No, because he's Max Verstappen. Sainz, what does Sainz do? Does he just say, oh, "I'm going for it now"? It's going to be a fascinating sprint to see how the drivers handle it, because they get a lot more points now than they did last year, but it's still a big risk to...
Is it 8-6-4-3-2-1?
Yeah.
Is that how I remember?
Yeah. So it's a big risk now to make the moves, but you still want to bag some big points for obviously winning it. But for me, the penalty of losing a couple of points is a lot less than potentially starting way back in the actual race and last, because that's where the big points are. But they're racing drivers.
Formula One drivers, and we're not. I've seen you on the sim, Tommy, and you wouldn't risk it for the chocolate biscuit, and I think a lot of these drivers would.
Sorry, it's 8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1.
Ah, sorry, yeah.
Which is even more annoying, and I'll probably have a... Well, I'm not on the podcast tomorrow, but I will say that I think that's silly that they're 8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. You need a first and second gap for it to be worthwhile for me.
Agreed. Give them 10. I think it should be 10-8-6-5-4-3-2-1 if they want to do it.
Yeah, the old F1 points.
Wasn't the old F1 points 10-6-4-3-2-1?
Not when it was the top eight, it was 10-8-6.
The top six was it top six before that, wasn't it? It was top six and top eight.
Yeah, top six before that.
Yeah. But we're such boomers.
We are. God, it's a throwback.
I remember back in the day.
Back in the day.
I agree. It's not enough. Oh, it's like 1 point, a whoop-de-doo, see you tomorrow sort of thing. But then we say that, but they've all risked it on lap one every single time, pretty much. Alonso at Silverstone, great example last year. Tommy, final thoughts?
Final thoughts.
Audio listeners, you've missed a treat there. I just saw his brain leave his body.
Yeah. Final thoughts is that, I want to know how you feel about Leclerc not getting pole. Are you a bit more happy about it?
Oh, I'm buzzing. Absolutely buzzing.
One thing that's quite interesting is Max now has more poles than Leclerc again. So you don't have to worry about that stat anymore of Leclerc having more poles, but loads less wins. So
I was losing sleep over that, Tommy. Thank you.
Maybe Leclerc, what he needs is not to be on pole, and then Ferrari will stick him on Inters in the sprint. And I love him there.
Well, speaking of Inters, it's supposed to rain on Sunday, isn't it? Which will make things very interesting. My final thoughts, Vicky, who was asked in the chat,
no context for the audio.
Yeah,
listeners.
No. If people are like, yeah,
that's Vicky.
Yeah, that's what I call Tommy sometimes. No, Vicky in the chat asked what my final thoughts was, and they are, please, for the love of God, Ferrari, just don't break my heart again. It is in 1,000 pieces. Just can we have a normal race and just win it? Please, just if Leclerc isn't on the podium this weekend.
Oh. That's huge if he's not on the podium. It's already ridiculous that he's not been on the podium for that long.
Leclerc may as well rip up his contract if he's not on the podium this weekend, genuinely. Yeah, I'm on the hopium, apparently. I don't think that's quite what hopium is. But either way, really looking forward to this weekend. It's finally poised. The two Ferraris look quick. Perez maybe a little bit off the pace. That's going to put more pressure on Max. And yeah, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Tommy, thank you so much for your time. Hashtag WTF1 podcast if you want to get involved in the conversation. Thank you to our Twitch viewers for watching along with us. And make sure you go check us out on Twitch if you want to come watch any of our watch-alongs that we now do throughout a race weekend. WTF1 official for that. So yeah, until tomorrow, we'll be doing live the sprint race. We won't be doing FP2, just so you know, but we will be doing the sprint race and, of course, for the race as well. So we'll see you over on Twitch and we'll see you very soon. Bye!
And a PSP.
Bye for the post-sprint podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.